Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. So glad to have you tuned in. It's Tuesday. It kind of feels like Monday, maybe.
It's so weird.
Yes. Yesterday, of course, Labor Day. Did you labor yesterday?
I saw the news coverage. This Miss Diana Nyad swims 110 yes. miles, and I maybe slept 110 hours
okay,
this weekend.
Sure. So you... Well, we all have our parts to play, I think. So good for you. That's Ryan Thomas there at the controls and Grace at the phones. And we're looking forward to talking with you today and welcome back our guest today, too. I should mention, though, that we're just a week away from Faith Radio Fall Share. And we're looking forward to making some new friends. We want to find out more about the wonderful ministry of Faith Radio, where we want to help connect faith to life every day. You check it out online, myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. And be with us next week for the start of our fall fundraiser. Those are three pretty significant days because the time that we set aside, we're going to talk about sort of setting aside a bit today, but those are the days that we set aside just to talk about the financial need of the ministry. And we are listener supported and rely on you. So thank you in advance for doing your part. Let's get to today's topic. I don't want to wait any longer. We're going to rush right into it. Our guest is a former emergency room physician, Dr. Matthew Sleeth. He resigned his position as chief of the medical staff and director of the ER to teach, preach, and write about faith and the environment. Some years ago, he founded Blessed Earth and, in fact, wrote a wonderful book called Serve God and Save the Planet, A Christian Call to Action, that came out in about 2007 or so. And he has spent a lot of time speaking at churches and schools throughout the country. Graduate of George Washington University School of Medicine, and has two postdoctoral fellowships. And the book that we want to talk about today is certainly appropriate for today's discussion. It's called 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. And this is one prescription that you can actually read. Dr. Sleeth, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
It's great to be back with you and your listeners, Neil.
We always love visiting with you, and it just seemed like here after Labor Day would be a wonderful time to talk about the message behind 24-6, because it's a message that we've sort of lost in our society. In fact, maybe we'll start with that, because we are talking about Sabbath, but something you call it different. We'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, so we just came through another Labor Day, and I think, you know, a lot of people barely stop anymore from their labor. So how did our view of work get so misguided that we don't stop anymore?
Well, it kind of happened slowly, and then really in some ways all at once, that we went from being a society that was very hardworking, but threw it in park one day a week and spent the day in rest and with the Lord, to a society that, you know, you can order a car at 3 a.m. and have a 3-minute egg in 30 seconds. And so things have changed a lot in the last few decades. One of the things I do when I'm talking to a church is to just stop the service and have everybody share with their neighbor what Sunday was like when they were a child. And I say if there's young people there, then there's a premium on gray hair and listening to those folks. And what happens is people remember Sundays in their youth, and they remember going to church. They remember time spent with family, naps, all kinds of things that bring a smile to their face. And it's actually, I actually lost control of a church doing this. It got so loud, and this was a large church and noisy, that I had to resort to yelling, "Let us pray," you know, to get it stopped. But I learned in that moment when that happened, that remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, has two meanings. One is to remember to observe it, and the other is to simply remember the great things that happen when we take time to stop and to spend that time with family and the Lord.
I mean, I guess that probably, you know, is the definition of remembering. It really is a stop and kind of look back, right?
I mean, absolutely. And I think culturally, we're just not, we're a culture that is obsessed with the new and the novel, and that sometimes there's great value in looking back and saying, no, wait a second, when we stopped one day of the week, when we didn't have stores that were open, good stuff happened. It wasn't, we didn't feel deprived. We felt renewed. We felt enriched.
Now, you know, maybe just to refresh our listeners with your story, you didn't grow up as a follower of Christ. Because society was doing the Sabbath, you kind of probably took part in it, but you were also an emergency room doctor, so I'm sure you had seasons where you were going nonstop.
Well, yes. As a child, I grew up in dairy farming country, and you have to milk cows 7 days a week. But it was a societal norm that if your hay was cut down and you'd gotten the weather wrong, you would not bring in hay on a Sunday, even if you lost it. And there were no stores open. You couldn't buy gasoline when I was a kid anywhere near where I lived. And, of course, that kind of changed for me, and I did not spend my time in the church in my 20s or 30s, or actually until midway through my 40s when I found Christ. But I was an ER doctor, and, of course, that goes 24/7. And so I kind of fell in with that pace of just always being on and going and no particular day having any special meaning to it. I think more than most people that I lost any rhythm of life. I'd work Sundays, work Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever. That changed when I became a follower of Christ, and I looked at everything differently, and including time. And I, my family and I, as we each became followers of Christ, there's four of us in our family, my wife and myself and two children. As we became followers of Christ over a period of a couple of years, we all began to keep a Sabbath day. And I didn't know any different. I thought, oh, you're supposed to at least follow the Ten Commandments. And that's what we did. We stopped one day a week. And I think it's been the single best thing for my family and our faith and my marriage.
Mm. We're going to talk more about it, why it's so important. In fact, we'll get into talking about what happens physically, emotionally, spiritually when we don't stop. But one of the other things I guess I want to talk about is around this time of year, we talk about gearing up. It's back to school season now. We're gearing up. All the churches kind of gear up for their fall programs. But it seems like we seldom gear down. We live in a world that's all about more, bigger, better, and faster, it seems like, isn't it?
That is the call of the world now, and I suspect it really has been the call since we left the Garden of Eden. Mm. And there's a line in one of C.S. Lewis's books, I believe it's the Screwtape Letters, where they're trying to win somebody's soul for the devil. This is from the devil's point of view. And the devil is urging one of his followers to just keep this guy busy. That's all you have to do. If you keep him busy enough, we've won. And from a biblical point of view, God is again and again telling his people to stop, to come to rest. Be still and know that I am God, as the psalm says. Something very important happens when we stop, when we follow the fourth commandment, that cannot happen any other way. We can't multitask our way to God or an understanding of God, I don't believe.
As a former emergency room physician, I mean, you understand the human body extremely well, but talk a little bit about what happens to us just physically, emotionally, and spiritually when we don't stop, when we just have the pedal to the metal all the time.
Well, I think physically what happens is that we make chemicals, hormones, and steroids to deal with stress. When we do that on a short-term basis, it's adaptive. But when we're making those hormones and steroids all the time, in an unrelenting way, it tends to be that humans don't do very well with that. And hypertension and depression and anxiety, I think, are some of the results that we see. Spiritually, I think that as my understanding of faith and of Christianity is that I have a personal God and a God that wants a personal relationship with me, sacrificed a great deal to get that relationship with me. And relationships just don't happen instantaneously. We need to invest in them and have the time and everything. And that's true not only with our family and our friends, but with our relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, it feels forced and it feels, like we're just going through the motions. So I think if we're always got another priority, well, God and our relationship with the Lord kind of slides to the bottom of the priority list, you know.
Dr. Matthew Sleeth is our guest today. He is founder of Blessed Earth, and it's a organization that where he teaches and writes about faith and the environment. And he's written a wonderful book called 24/6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. And we're talking about taking a stop one day a week, a Sabbath day. We'll find out more about that, about intentionally not doing everything all the time just because we can. There's a great line in Matthew's book, 24/6. One of many great lines, great writer, and we're going to talk about that and more in just a moment. Love to hear from you, too. Maybe you have a story to share. We'll see if we can lose control of the program here, just like Matthew did at church here a while back. And you call up and tell some of your stories about Sabbath remembrances, 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. And we've got a couple of copies of 24/6 to give away. We're happy to share that with you if you want to join the program. 877-933-2484.
Giving forgiveness to someone who doesn't deserve it is real love. It's what God does for us. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're reminded that even if our faith moves mountains, so what? If there is no love, we're just an irritating noise. Forgiving as God forgives means we don't reject the sinner, but we reject the sin. It means we don't avoid or attack the person who's hurt us. Sure, it might mean setting appropriate boundaries if they continue in hurtful behavior, but that's not an excuse to be unkind and vindictive to the person. One of the most basic necessities of real love is to be kind, but it's also about being patient and assuming the best of someone. We may toot our horn all day long how we're a Christian and we've forgiven someone, but have we? But you don't know what they did. You're right, but God does. He also knows what we did, and He forgives us. If vengeance needs to come, God will bring it in His timing, not ours. Ask God to give you His love so you can give love for yet another day. Every day. For more encouragement, visit DebbieGriffith.com.
And your praise goes on, rising to your throne, where you bless our toil and play. Through the clouds they rise, your praises fill.
Got that sense of sort of rhythm, the rhythm to life there. As your praise goes on, Chris Rice. At 17 past 12, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. Matthew Sleeth is my guest today. He's a great writer. The book's called 24/6, and Ryan got one of my favorite portions of the book where he's talking about what God created on the seventh day. In Genesis, we find a seven-day week, he writes. On Monday, God cooks up a universe with a few simple ingredients. Goes on to explain that. I said, by midweek, he forms the dry land. The season says, good. On Friday after coffee, he stocks the lakes and fills the sky with birds. By day's end, he's sitting on the tailgate admiring a flock of starlings bursting in one direction like a cumulus cloud. Not a good picture. Well, he goes on to say, on day six, God forms Adam. And then because she is even more complicated, God makes Eve. Very good. Excellent. And how can God top creating a universe and my wife and daughter? Matthew writes, well, he said, it comes out of left field. Up to this point, everything has been created out of nothing. But on the morning of the seventh day, God makes nothing out of something. Isn't that is that really God's design, Matthew? That truly is it nothing? Is that what Sabbath is all about?
It's, well, obviously I'm being literate there as I write that, but I believe that left to our own devices, we would never find this rhythm of rest. That it is a gift from the Lord, passed on to Moses on Mount Sinai, carried through the Hebrew people to all the nations. And this is not just my belief. This is actually historical fact, that the Hebrews gave the Sabbath day to all the cultures they came into contact with, and it was, of course, passed to Christianity. We observe that on Sunday in Christianity, but that rhythm of rest is uniquely from the Lord. And I believe that when we divorce ourselves from the Lord, when we ignore the Lord, when we just use our own minds, that we will only ever come up with a working around the clock as the only possibility. And so the church has existed on this piece of real estate and time called the Sabbath since the beginning. And as we more and more move from a society that gets our marching orders from the Bible, I believe we're in jeopardy of losing this day a week that we mostly take for granted, where we have a day where we can not work and we can rest and we can worship our Creator.
Maybe just a side note, but have you discovered, I mean, is the idea of Sabbath, as you said, the Israelites sort of passed it on to every kind of culture they came to. I mean, is this something that, you know, the fast-paced life is just particularly an American obsession? I mean, does the rest of the world do siestas? Or?
As far as I can tell, for the most part, now, other societies, the Babylonians had a seven-day week. Most of them didn't have a seven-day week. The Babylonians had some rest days, but this idea of stopping one day out of seven is uniquely from Jews. When I've spoken to people who've been in societies that are just, you know, one generation removed from tribal societies, they really speak of every day being the same as the other. Every day is involving work, and so almost without exception, the rhythm of stopping one day a week is God-given, period.
Is this something that we need to be rigid about, or is it just a matter of sort of living by the spirit of the law that we, does it need to be a full day? Does it have to be Sunday? What have you discovered about that?
Well, I give my opinion, and that is that I see the Bible and even the Ten Commandments through the lens of Christ. And my understanding of Christ is that Christ is trying to get his listeners, including us, to the intent of those commandments, that we're no longer under condemnation from those commandments. As Paul says in Romans, we're not certain to fail in our sin, but Jesus is getting us to the intent. So, as an example, he says, don't just not kill somebody, don't be angry with them, don't just not commit adultery, but don't lust in your heart. The fourth commandment, the longest of all the commandments, the commandment to remember the Sabbath, has an intent behind it too. And I believe that Christ points us to the intent is to give us a peace that passes all understanding. And so I think that to be rigid about it is to miss the intent of it. The two things I kind of remember, and I really got from Eugene Peterson, the writer of The Message, is you've got to remember to pray and to play on those days. If there's not joy in your heart, something's really wrong with your Sabbath. And if God isn't there, something is amiss as well. So if we keep those two things, pray and play, at the top, I think we can, we might stray, but we'll get back to the right path.
A was reading in Matthew this morning, in fact, about Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees, who were always upset about something. But you know, that famous line, you know, the Sabbath is made for man, not, or that Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath. That
even
you know,
of
they,
the Sabbath, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And he goes on to say that the man is not meant to save the Sabbath. The Sabbath is meant to save humanity. And, of course, Jesus is referring to himself there. Our Savior is Christ. And so I really think that we can come to a better understanding of Christ and that peace that he's offering us simply by coming to rest one day out of seven.
So let's talk more about those elements, as Eugene Peterson talks about, the pray and play. Do you have out of your experience, you're a formula that you've kind of, a rhythm that you've gotten into? What seems to work for you, and what do you recommend?
I'm glad you asked, but I'm a bad example.
Okay.
I spend the majority of Sundays in a church somewhere in the country, around the country, preaching. So I'm often traveling on that day, working on that day, although that it's a great joy to do that work. So we schedule one day, and sometimes that's a Friday, and sometimes that's a Saturday, sometimes it's a Monday. But there are people, not only pastors, but police, nurses, physicians, you know, who have schedules that vary, that they don't have a great deal of control over. But we block it off on a calendar about one day in seven. Sometimes we'll go 8 days. Sometimes it'll be one day less. My wife and I come to rest and observe a Sabbath. The ideal, I believe, is if people can come to rest on Sunday, because that is the day that most of us can get to church. And so we don't have a strict list. I don't do commerce on that day. For me, an hour or half an hour or 10 minutes spent in a store looking for something ruins the whole point of the thing for me. And so commerce is on my don't do list on that my day of rest. We just don't go and buy anything. I think it's also really important to prepare for a Sabbath, and it helps you order your life. And I explain this in the book as kind of the same as giving. The most counterintuitive thing to do if you're having trouble with your finances is to start tithing. And yet I've never met anyone that once they start tithing has trouble with their finances. And the most counterintuitive thing for somebody to do if they don't have enough hours in the day or days in the week is to start stopping one day a week. And yet when we do that, we find paradoxically that we have more time even for the work.
You know, I think for many who are maybe just listening now, just it sounds so inviting. And they just like, I don't know how I could start that, but it just sounds, there's something so appealing about that. And I guess that was the whole design right from the beginning, right?
There is. And I think that a lot of people find themselves saying, I know this is a great idea. I used to do this when I was younger, or my family did, or I have memories of it. And yet, how am I going to get it accomplished now? And as this book came out less than a year ago, but it came out last fall. And so I've had a chance to be with churches and groups, and I was just with a group of military chaplains over at the Cove in North Carolina, Billy Graham Center there. And this is all we talked about, was how can they incorporate Sabbath into their lives. And, of course, you know, the military doesn't shut down no matter what on Sunday. And yet they knew it was important. They knew it was important to the soldiers that they minister to. I think that if somebody says, I really want to do this, go ahead and read 24/6, get the DVD or something. But I believe that this works best when we do it as a family and in small groups and as a church. The Sabbath is meant to build community. Remember how I said I asked people to remember what they did on the Sabbath? Well, they said they went to church, they had meals with families, that sort of thing. what the Sabbath does is to help you remember the first three commandments, to love the Lord and not have other idols, not take him in vain, and then the very next one, to honor our parents and our marriage and that sort of thing. So I think the Sabbath helps you with all the other commandments, and I don't see how society is going to go forward without it. I have a quote that I came across after I wrote the book by D.L. Moody. And he said, if we lose the Sabbath, we'll lose the family. If we lose the family, we'll lose the church. We lose the church, we'll lose the nation. I begin the book with a quote by Abraham Lincoln saying that the Sabbath is humanity's last hope. So I believe that with my heart, and yes, it's an invitation, but it's if we fail to take that invitation, I think we do it at great risk.
We'll talk more about 24-6, a prescription for a healthier, happier life. It has to do with stopping a day a week. We'll talk more with Dr. Matthew Sleeth about the Sabbath. He is founder of Blessed Earth, and he's authored the book 24-6, Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. We welcome you to the broadcast as well. Your calls, your questions, comments, Sabbath stories, 877-933-2484 or myfaithradio.com. Think about Psalm 23, about those still waters and laying down beside them. Sounds kind of refreshing. That was the idea. We're talking about God's design for a healthier, happier life, and it starts with understanding that that we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we're talking about that today with Matthew Sleeth. Dr. Sleeth is a former emergency room physician, and he has since founded Blessed Earth and speaks and writes about the environment and faith and what God's Word has to say, and has written a wonderful book called 24-6, a prescription for a healthier, happier life. Matthew, we should say, is the website Blessed Earth, is that, or is there a better website if we want to find out more about your writing and speaking?
Everybody can go to the Blessed Earth site. I think there's a 24-6 site, and it's terrible that I can't tell you that with 100% certainty. I know if people just type in 24-6 into a Google search bar, they'll get there.
Sure. You know, you're not spending all your free time on the internet, apparently. So you're finding balance in your life, it sounds like.
I don't spend all my time on the internet. I find that I get more done sometimes the old-fashioned way. I still write most of what I write with a pencil and a piece of paper. So, you know, it's not the technology. It's what we're doing with it, and it's not the fact that we're talking. It's what's coming out of our mouth. And I think Christ makes that really, really clear that you know, what comes out of our mouth defines us as followers or not. So I think a lot of people, though, get into this habit of always looking for the new technology and always being attracted to it. And it's not that I don't use technology. We do. I'm not adverse to technology. But, you know, sometimes that becomes our God. Either the phone in our pocket or the computer screen in front of us. I think that's the point of Sabbath, is to kind of disconnect from the world, to be called apart for a period of time, and then to go back to the world refreshed and renewed and willing to sacrifice and do our ministries, whether that's as a school teacher or any type of work.
Is Sabbath the absence of something, or is it just the addition of something new?
The Sabbath is the to me, the absence of the cares of the world. You know, each of us has a lot of things on our shoulders. You know, did we get the tags renewed on the car? What about our children? What's going to happen with the economy, the world? You know, we have all of these things coming at us to worry about. And frankly, it can get to be overwhelming, or we can get to feel that the world can't go on without us. When I have my Sabbath day, my stop day, as I call it, because the word Sabbath simply means to cease. When I have my stop day once a week, I realize that God's really is sovereign and has got the wheel, you know, and is going to take it for there. And that realization that I can let go is really the adding of God into the equation, and it's letting go of myself as God. And I think so many of us just get caught in that trap that the world can't go on without us working 24/7.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, we as a culture sort of miss the point of Sabbath, and that in many ways mirrors, you know, how we miss the quest for real peace in our lives, too, isn't it? I mean, it is a pretty sobering reminder about the mess that we're in, I guess.
It is. We live in a fallen world, and yet but God made the world, and it's a good world. He said it was good. And we can go too far in extreme of being too pessimistic or too optimistic. And as I say in the book again and again, the Sabbath gives a kind of balance to everything. It's not balanced in the Ten Commandments, by the way. The Sabbath commandment is over a third of the slice of the pie, as it were. Just the verbiage in writing that is longer than all the commandments that come after it in the Ten Commandments. And I think that's because it's just naturally hard for us humans to let go. We want to be in control, and that's why we fail. Mm. The Sabbath is a kind of letting go of control and letting God take the wheel and having that faith. And in the book, I mention it, but there's a DVD that goes along with the book, and I hope you got one of them there. If you didn't, we'll send some to you. You can give away. But one of the things I do is to have an extended interview with David Green as an example of somebody who let go in business. He owns the Hobby Lobby stores. They were open 7 days a week. And after he'd been in business almost 20 years, then he closed them. And he said when he let go of that, then God really got a hold of his business and his heart. And so you think of how difficult that is for a business person to close their stores down when they're bringing in $100 million a year on Sundays. I give another example of a great business example, which is B&H Photo, which closes its store, 70,000 square foot flagship store. They close 24 hours a week. And that's not so unusual, but they close their internet business down, and that's gigantic. And think of the faith in letting go like that. Well, it's the same faith when we let go of whatever it is that we're doing one day out of the week. And the reality is that we're testing that faith a little bit. And God promised the Israelites that there would be enough manna the day before their Sabbath, and it would keep. And that God never breaks his promises. That's what we forget. We might forget the promise, but he doesn't. And he promised that if we kept this Sabbath, there would be enough of everything. And I have tested that, and other people have, and I've written about it, and they find it's true. I have yet to have somebody come up and say, I did that, and it all went sour for me. Hmm. I haven't met the person yet.
Let's take some calls, and we'll hear a couple stories. Peter is listening in and calling in from Barnum. Peter, you're on with Matthew Sleeth. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say that I think one of the most important things of the Sabbath principle is hearing the voice of God. And I think that there's so much noise going on right now. I went for a period of time without a phone for 4 years and no internet and just really unplugged from the world. And I think also it has a lot to do with finding Ephesians 2:10. He says, we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And how do we know if we're walking in them if we don't hear his voice? And the principle that you mentioned of the paradox of the tithe of time, that's when we can get his instruction and know that we're in his will rather than doing our own. And I thank you for your program.
Thanks, Peter.
Amen, Peter. That'll preach.
That's right. Indeed it does. A good word today. Thanks. Let's go to Stan. Stan is a farmer or has a comment about farming. You're on with Matthew Sleeth. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sitting in my tractor right now.
Okay.
But, you know, the pressure in agriculture, of course, is to, you know, you got to get all the crops in and so on. But my tradition is we just never did farm on Sunday. But, you know, people accuse you, well, you're a traditionalist and you got to look at the whole thing and crops are there too. But I think it's important, really, to have that day of rest. And the pressure in agriculture, of course, is to get everything done nowadays. And that's caused, you know, industrialization of agriculture in a certain sense because of that pressure to get things done.
You know, that pressure has always been there, and the Bible specifically says even when you're planting and reaping, I want you to observe this. If we think we have pressure now, imagine what it was like 3,500 years ago with no refrigeration, no interstate transport, you know, system, that sort of thing. And yet God said to stop. And so there's even less reason to break the Sabbath now than there was before, I think. But those temptations are always there because we are in a fallen world, but God's promise is always there. So I'm glad that your listener, even in his agriculture with the pressures, is observing Sabbath.
I always thought Stan was a man outstanding in his field. So, well, or maybe sitting in his field today. But we're talking today with Matthew Sleeth, talking about the Sabbath, about a stop day. Matthew, I'm interested. Are there seasons when, maybe not harvest time, but maybe as you talk a little bit about your police or your emergency or your young mom, and there's work to be done sort of 24/7. So, are there is Sabbath the season, and can it be a partial day, or does it need to be a whole day?
You know, I think Christ is acknowledging this when he says, you know, anyone, even that was listening to him, would go and pull a sheep out of a well if it had fallen down. That sometimes circumstances dictate that we respond. We're always supposed to save a life, etc. When you have a child, a brand new baby, well, that baby gets hungry around the clock, and needs attention and diapers changed and that sort of thing. But the most important thing to do with that child as you raise it is to bring it up in the ways of the Lord. And one of the ways of the Lord is to spend time with the Lord. And so we might have those seasons, but we're trying to bring a child up in the ways of God. As far as can you take a mini Sabbath, it's not ideal. Somebody may have absolute circumstances, but I believe that God should be our greatest priority. If somebody has spent years and years with God as their greatest priority and God puts something in front of them that they have to do, that's one thing. But most of us, let's face it, have not put God at the top of the list, to-do list.
Yeah.
And, we just have to be honest, me, you, everybody. There are some saints among us who have answered the call of God all the time, everywhere. But most of us spend more time watching television than we do thinking and listening to about God.
Maybe kind of a related note, Patty had called in and said, in the Old Testament, God commanded his people to stone anyone who broke the Sabbath. So that seems a little harsh. Most of us would be dead today if we continue that practice. So can you shed some light on that subject?
You know, it's interesting. God gives lots of commandments, and we see people break a lot of them, and they actually get away with it. You know, the punishments generally aren't that severe. One of the few times God actually strikes someone down is after they were given the Ten Commandments, and there's a man out gathering sticks, and he is struck dead by God for disobeying the Sabbath. And I think showing some of the
real importance in the Sabbath. It's also interesting that the Sabbath commandment is repeated a number of times in whole, and one of them is when Moses has spent time on Mount Sinai. He's been given the Ten Commandments. He's getting ready to rappel over the north face of Mount Sinai, and God says, wait, before you go, let me repeat the fourth commandment to you, and he does. And so I think that underscores the importance of it, not as a punishment, but as the kind of throwing a blessing back in God's face that he's given us. You know, it's kind of like if you spent an enormous amount of time thinking of just the right present for somebody, something that they need, something that you know is going to help them for their whole life, and then they just said, well, where can I return it? Think of the Sabbath as being like that.
Good perspective. Matthew Sleeth, my guest today, we're talking about the Sabbath stop day. 24-6 is the title of the book, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. And in a moment, we'll talk a little bit about, as you mentioned earlier, Sabbath is meant to build community. What does that look like? Maybe some tips along those lines. And we'll get some more stories and reflections from Matthew Sleeth. Got some time for your calls, too, at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH.
This is Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global, with Beyond the Call. The sailor's boat capsized from vicious winds. After drifting several days, he landed on an uninhabited island off Greenland. He ate plants to survive and eventually constructed a hut. But one day, storms pummeled his island, and his hut was struck by lightning and everything went up in smoke. His hopes of being found, gone. In Isaiah 46, the Lord says, I will be your God through all your lifetime. I made you, and I will care for you. But that night, a boat approached the island. The sailor, overwhelmed, asked the rescuers how they ever found him. Looking surprised, they said, well, we saw your smoke signal. Are you going through a difficult situation? Rely on God. He will provide a way. And go beyond the call. And then visit us online at hcjb.org.
It's 47 past the hour. Dr. Matthew Sleeth, my guest today. He's back on Connecting Faith with Us. He's author of the critically acclaimed book, Serve God, Save the Planet. He's also founder of Blessed Earth. It's a nonprofit organization that focuses on creation care. Matthew and his wife live in the Lexington, Kentucky area. They have two grown children, and we're talking today about his book, 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're talking about that. Matthew mentioned that, you know, it's meant to build community. I'm just thinking, you know, if you're maybe away from family, I mean, this talk about the importance. Is it family or is it just community, or does it need to be both?
Oh, I think it's both. And I think we're told that we're brothers and sisters with each other when we accept Christ. So we have a different sized family once we're become believers in Christ. So that's our larger family, and then we have our nuclear family, those who we're biologically related to. I really believe that a lot of people lose their children as far as their faith when they go off to college. We looked at the statistics, it's overwhelming. And I think that one of the things that reassured me that my children were going to go off to college and my son go to graduate school and everything, and they were going to keep their faith, was that I knew that they had been taught the value of stopping one day a week, that it wasn't mom and dad in charge of the family. The Lord was in charge of the family. And my children observed the Sabbath when they were in college, my son even through medical school. They learned that there was something bigger than them, something bigger than mom and dad, something more important. And a lot of kids have not seen what's more important than mom and or dad or themselves even. So to me, this did, as I put it, some of the heavy lifting of parenting was my kids knew that they had to have their homework done and that sort of thing. There wasn't going to be a chance to do it on Sabbath. And it worked wonders as far as helping them get organized and completing tasks and that sort of thing. So the Sabbath has lots and lots of benefits, but one of the hugest ones is the biggest labor that I think many of us have in our life, and that's raising children and getting them to be grown-ups that believe in the Lord and love their fellow human beings.
I remember years ago, David Maines hosted a program called Chapel of the Air. They used to do a 50-day spiritual adventure, and 1 year they focused on, I think, on Sabbath, and it talked about, you know, the rhythm of, you know, anticipating it, coming up for 3 days and then experiencing Sabbath and then sort of reflecting back on it for 3 days. And there was this sort of ongoing, constant rhythm of building toward the excitement of Sabbath. I mean, we could have that same sort of attitude if we really understood God's sort of the rhythm that we could get in step with Him.
You know, it's, I'm going to steal that, by the way.
Good.
3 days leading up to and three going away. I've tried to articulate that, and I don't think I've done as great a job as you did. And, you know, if you think about what this means over the course of a lifetime, my children will, you know, statistically live to be about 80 years old. They will have kept the Sabbath for a decade out of their life. If you take that away from somebody, there's still a human in everything, but it's going to change the character and the whole course of your life. So it's not just the day that you're observing it. It really is woven into the fabric of life as you observe it again and again and again. And I believe changes one's character and changes it for the better. I believe it changes the character of our church and our society as well.
24-6 is the title of the book. Matthew Sleeth is my guest. Carol is on line two, calling in from Wisconsin. Carol, go ahead. You're on with us.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to thank you both for having this caller on today and for him articulating everything. My husband and I just had this conversation. I'm a doer, and I just go, 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 go. And yesterday he said, Carol, you need to relax. You need to stop. We don't have to be going all the time. You want 15 things done in one day, and on and on and on. But the word pictures you have used today just have brought it home to me. I mean, it's just incredible that, yeah, we do have to stop and take time, and it's not necessarily being on the go that makes us a better person. And so this is just God's timing.
Good. Well, I hope you experience a wonderful Sabbath real soon, and let Matthew know how it goes. Matthew, that you're right. There, I mean, a lot of us are kind of wired that way. We're wired to go.
We are, and it's a cliche, but I'm going to repeat it because I've been there and I've held people's hands as they're dying. And I've heard people reflect in the last hours, minutes of their life, and it's absolutely true that nobody says, I wished I spent more time working. I wished I spent more time at the office. At the end of their life, it becomes clear what your priorities should have been. And yet, if we just go, 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 we'll find ourselves at the end of the life and find that we may not have spent it as wisely as we should have.
Was there one thing when you came to faith in your mid-years and decided that you should obey the Ten Commandments, and kind of a novel thought for some probably, but was there one thing that was maybe the most difficult or the most surprising to you after having been a ER doctor and just going all the time to actually stop for a day?
I think that what I was surprised by then, and I am continually surprised but amazed by, is that the Lord's word is true. That this Bible that I didn't even know about gives really a way to live, a way to view good and evil and life, and that it gives some specific instructions. And at the top of those are the Ten Commandments, and the biggest of those is the Sabbath. So to me, it's been the surprise of finding that not only is the Lord there, but that he left us an instruction manual, thank God, which is timeless, and that we can lean on that. We can try it out, and that's what I'd urge people. You know, if you haven't done this and it's been on your heart to give the Sabbath a try, just commit to a month where you keep the Sundays and just write in a journal, what does it do? And I believe that people will be pleasantly surprised, as I was surprised when I started keeping the Sabbath.
As you've done this over the years, how do you keep Sabbath differently now than you did just even a few years ago? And maybe is it richer? Is it more meaningful? Or do you kind of gotten into a rhythm that seems to work for you?
Oh, I look forward to it more and more. I don't know how I could go without it. I think is the biggest thing. And I, in the book, likens Sabbath resting to exercising. You know, if somebody decides they're going to get in shape and they do 50 sit-ups one day, the next day they just wake up with a sore stomach. It doesn't do much. Their waistline isn't any different or anything. But if they do it on a regular basis over a period of time, then they really begin to notice the benefits. And spiritual disciplines are like that. And the Sabbath is a spiritual discipline. So if we keep the Sabbath and we start doing that over the years, we'll begin to notice that we have a kind of resilience to bad things. And it reminds us to turn to the Lord and to pray and that sort of thing. So it's something that builds on itself. You don't get it all at once. But it builds and it builds and it builds. And then you look at yourself and you are happier, I think, with what you see as you keep it over the years.
Well, you've, I think, even kind of sort of started you've got Sabbath creep, right? You're starting Friday nights with a little meal, right?
Well, I do write about the fact that a few years ago I said to my wife, you know, I'm spending time with my children. You know, they're grown now, but it's you know, kind of hit or miss, or we'll do a project together here or there. Let's get together every Friday night at 6:30, and we've been doing that for a few years, and my children bring their friends. We literally have people knock on the door, you know, oh, I'm in town, and they know about this, and my wife was raised as a Jew, so it's not abnormal for her. You know, it's part of her childhood to have those Friday night dinners. And we've just found it's been a great sacred rhythm to do that Friday night. So, yes, I've got a little bit of Sabbath creep going there. You know, those meals take place in our house even when we're not here. The kids keep those going, and they'll come over, and guests will come by, and so that's been a wonderful thing to add.
We'll post Dr. Sleeth's home address on our website after the show so we can all stop by. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll bring something with you if everybody's coming.
Okay, sure. All right. A little potluck. It always goes a long way. Dr. Yeah. Matthew Sleeth, author of Serve God, Save the Planet, and the one we're referencing today is called 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. It's a recommended reading from Tyndale. BlessedEarth.org is the website, by the way, BlessedEarth.org. Matthew, great to visit with you again. Blessings to you.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. You can check out the podcast online at MyFaithRadio.com.